אנחנו לומדים מספר תלמוד עשר הספירות בעמוד עין א'.
We're studying from a text, page 71 in Hebrew. You can ask questions at kab.tv and selected questions will be live. Again, we're reading in text, page 71, letter 79.
Any amshacha is done by b'china daled, and thus needs a masach to prevent the light from expanding into b'china daled. 79. The rule is that any hamshacha of light must be in b'china daled, in the netzal, in the emanated. Even though there is no intention to draw light into there, the reason is that the aviyut, the coarseness, it raises from b'china daled is unfit for amshacha, extension. Even b'china aleph in b'china daled is better suited for extension than the real b'china gimel, which is above, meaning more zach, pure, than the entire b'china daled. Therefore, if all the aviyut disappears from b'china daled, then there will be no one to draw light from Ein Sof, and the light will stop entirely. The extension, the amshacha, must be done with b'china daled, while at the same time she has to guard herself so that the light will not permeate her because of the tzimtzum restriction on b'china daled. For that reason, she erected the masach that guards precisely that. Thus, when the light expands and reaches b'china daled, the masach awakens and pushes that part of the light back to its shorish, root. That part that is pushed back does not disappear, but it is turned into the or chozer, reflecting light. It is that which constitutes the vessels of reception for the upper light.
שאלות? כן, בן זון.
Questions?
What is the meaning here when he says that Malchut has to guard herself and the Masach was also in herself? What does it mean, this emphasis of in herself?
The Masach that we have here in Malchut, I'll draw it in red. This is the Masach, the screen. And this is the vessel of Malchut. And Malchut wants to resemble the first nine. She doesn't feel more than the first nine, ever. And in general, there is no more than first nine and Malchut, ten sefirot, no more and no less. That's it. Now, within those ten sefirot, we live. Is there anything outside of that? There's no such question. Because even that question itself, whether there is or isn't, outside or inside, those questions as well stem from our sensation in our own reality within the Ten Sefirot. It is impossible for us to ask about something using terms where you are now, about something that is not under the same principles. And therefore, there is no question which is about outside of the Ten Sefirot. For us, well, there is no such thing. Rather, what we must have, what we have to have, what we are obligated to attain, is what happens in the first nine. From Malchut through the Malchut that can attain them. That's it. Now, in order to discover the first nine, we perform a restriction over the Malchut, Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, and a Masach, a screen. Through that we can attain what is before us. If we are speaking about the desire in Malchut, that I receive whatever comes to me. I don't even know where it comes from, because I don't research that, what is above me. I simply feel. Then I'm in that at the degrees of the still, vegetative, and animate. That's all. That's all I have. And I simply exist. Nothing, not above that, because I feel whatever is inside of me. Through Bechina Daled, we were given a deficiency to attain the emanator, what is above us. Above us are the first nine. And then we, through all kinds of actions done in Malchut, try to attain what are the first nine. What is the emanator? What kind of reality is that? And this is a very hard and profound question. How can I grasp him if I'm completely not him? And how can I understand and feel and cleave, meaning according to all the parameters, the inputs that he wants to present to me so that I'll come to know him and will understand him and will equalize with him? How does Malchut acquire all of that? So here he explains to us that it is through the restriction, the masach, and the reflected light, that then, by that, we reach a certain equivalence between Malchut itself and the first nine that are before it. That's it? Yes.
What does it mean that she herself makes this masach?
She can't do anything. No one can do anything. Everything that comes to him comes from above. And also, all of his reactions are mandated from above. However, over some of the responses of the created being, he is given a feeling that he is independent and can use his own actions, his own thoughts, as if he's free, as if the Creator as if removes himself from reality and gives a person room, and that room is revealed as a desire. A desire is called a place. And a person can do anything he wants in that place. And then the Creator begins, according to what is possible, to teach people what is worthwhile wanting. How should we use our desires? But still he remains behind the scenes, as we do with children, in order to develop them independently. And you have no choice. You know that if you give a child a hammer and a nail, well, it's dangerous and he might hurt himself. He might hit himself and also maybe others, or he may break things or, you know, corrupt them. But you're going for it because you have to teach him. Certainly along the way, he'll cry a few times because he'll knock his own finger instead of the nail, and so what? Rather, well, there's no choice.
Yes. When we're reading about Malchut, should we think about something passive or something active that can do many things?
We are speaking about all the forms of Malchut. Other than Malchut, we have nothing to talk about, because all the forms that preceded Malchut are qualities that I can acquire, but only on the condition that I acquire them, and these qualities become my own form. They clothe over my heart, over my flesh. Then they become living qualities. I give them life. The first nine it's not something that is living. It's not, it's just the presentation of the Creator. If you want to acquire it, use it, the moment you use it, this becomes a part of you. You clothe in it. It's like a dress. All right? Yes.
Olivier from France asks, what does it mean that the masach, it pushes the light back?
The screen repels the light. Well, light is everything. But in that light are discernments that we are still not talking about. Here it speaks about the light of pleasure, first of all, that comes to us from the host, and that guest repels it. He doesn't want to be the one who receives, not because it is forbidden in itself, nothing was forbidden, but rather because he wants to resemble the host, because he started feeling such discernments that are called shame. He was given such discernments. In what way is he different from the giver? And he felt that difference is called shame. And in such a way, therefore, in order to correct that sensation, he started all the actions of creation. Yes?
Roma from Germany asks, is the reflected light a prayer?
A reflected light is not a prayer. A prayer is before we have the possibility to activate the reflected light. A prayer is a request for helpful forces. The reflected light is already light in which I raise myself in order to bestow to others and through others to the Creator. All of the actions that we say that it is reflected light or bestowing to the Creator or any spiritual actions, these are all through the center of the group. Otherwise, it's not even in the right direction. The center of the group is the sight, the viewfinder, through which I don't yet see the Creator, but I aim towards Him. Just like nowadays, in war, well, not today, but maybe for 100 years now, it is possible to aim towards a certain target, even though we don't even see the target. It used to be that the target was before your eyes, so you would see the target itself. Your eye, the sight, and the target were all on a single line. Nowadays, the target can be miles away, many miles away. How do you see it? You don't see it. However, you perform a simulation of where the target is, and you calculate various directions and all kinds of other influences, and then you shoot and you reach it. But all the inputs must be present in you, in the place where you are. So we, in order to depict the Creator, where can we perform this calculation like they do with artillery before they shoot a shell, before they fire a shell? So we have all kinds of tables full of numbers and measurements, the wind and all kinds of things, and we perform a calculation, and this is how we fire. But following certain wisdom, comparisons and inputs and formulas, same here. Within me, I have to be sensitive to the center of the society, center of the group. Maybe it moves right and left. I receive all kinds of discernments, how much I'm in them, within them. If I and the center of the group equalize, and I try to be with them in all kinds of little movements, right and left, this way, that way. The main thing is to truly connect to a single point, me and them, so that it won't be just, there won't be me and them. The moment that the difference between me and them disappears, that is precisely the moment where I have to fire at the Creator. That is the right direction. For sure, I'm going to hit the target. And this is how we reach the target. Yes.
Eli from Netanya asks, what means do I have to measure that I'm correctly aiming through the center of the group and not some costumed ego?
For that, you have to perform all kinds of calculations. It's not simple. Rather, it's work, 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 and through the work, you receive sensitivity, you raise your sensitivity, and start getting discernments. But, as it says, I dwell within my people. Let's continue.
Okay. Item 80. With respect to the Hamshacha of light, Bchina Dalet and the Masach are as one. Item 80. Regarding the Hamshacha of the upper light from Ein Sof, Bchina Dalet and the Masach that is placed on her are regarded as one. That is because the kashiyut of the Masach is seated on top of the aviyut of the Bchina Dalet. For that reason, in most cases, only the Masach is mentioned. Regarding the Hamshacha of light, it necessarily refers to both. To keep our words brief, we too will name the extension of light from Ein Sof only after the Masach. Regarding the emergence of the degrees from one another, we will also refer to it with the name Izlekhut of the Oviyut, although it really refers to the Kashiyut in the Masach. Remember that it really refers to the levels of the Aviyut in Bchina Daled, which created four levels of Kashiyut in the Masach. Item 80 again. Regarding the Hamshacha of light from Ein Sof, Bchina Daled and the Masach that is placed on her are regarded as one. That is because the Kashiyut of the Masach is seated on top of the Aviyut, coarseness of Bchina Daled. For that reason, in most cases, only the Masach is mentioned. Regarding the extension of light, it necessarily refers to both.
Who can explain that to us? Why don't we mention Oviyut, coarseness, but only the Masach, the screen? Well, what do you think? But he says that they are one and the same. They are equivalent to one another. They have to be that way. There cannot be a Masach without Oviyut. Oviyut without a Masach, it's not good. That's our ego. Oviyut, coarseness, or thickness with Masach, that's the level of bestowal that we can raise towards the emanator. Can there be a Masach without Oviyut? Well, over what are you then doing, performing a Masach? Against what? Meaning there cannot be a Masach screen without having Oviyut beneath it. That I want to use that Oviyut in the fullest, complete manner. It could be cruel Oviyut. That I want to kill everyone. I want to run down everyone. I want to, I don't know, hang, doesn't matter what. And over this, there is a Masach. The more the desires are in greater Oviyut, the Masach, you know, in order to use that Oviyut for, in order to bestow, has to be greater. But we, for the sake of the spiritual issue, only speak of the Masach, because Oviyut that is not covered with a Masach, it is covered by the restriction. I simply don't use it. Inside of, I want, like Pharaoh, to rule everyone, including the Creator. Right? Who is the Lord that I shall listen to him? on the one hand. On the other hand, if we acquire a masach over all of the parts of Pharaoh gradually, initially there is a restriction. This is called that we run away from Egypt. And that's not simple. The Exodus itself, just to restrict that big ego. And later we start awakening it, as it says, to the remembrance of the exit of Egypt. All the mitzvot are in memory of the Exodus from Egypt. The corrections only come by Pharaoh awakening in us. We awaken it. We awaken him, or he is awakened from above. And then we perform a correction on another part of the ego, and another part, and another part, etc. But when he awakens, he awakens in an antisocial manner. Really, everything is antisocial. Well, so, therefore, the Masach and the Oviyut are one against the other, and there's no need for us to even mention the Oviyut, because in the spiritual actions, what is important to us is the Masach, but certainly cruelty, that big desire, is beneath the screen. Is that clear? Everything is clear today. Akoka, how are you doing? Eating up yourself or not? Soon you go to work, and the people here will stay here and speak about love of friends. Well, yes or no? Come on, tell everyone how much you're suffering. We want to have a little bit of fun here. One who does not feel that, that's not good. One has to feel that something is lost, there's something that is not given right now. How come? What's going on? Terence, is that true or not? Well, how are you doing with your character? Are you going to allow them to just sit here like that? It has to be a cruel desire. Truly brutal. Where is Chaim? Chaim Turkia. Oh, he's working in a building. I heard him on purpose yesterday. Nicely. Well, I felt that also his heart was kind of rising. Well,
when is the Tzimtzum performed on a person?
The restriction, the Tzimtzum is performed on a person the moment that that person decides that he doesn't want to be his own boss. That's it. The restriction is the first giving of the soul. In Hebrew, literally, devotion. Let's continue.
We're continuing to keep our words. To keep our words brief, we too will name the extension of the light from Ein Sof only after the Masach. Regarding the emergence of degrees from one another, we will also refer to, with the name, is the Khut, purification of the Aviyut, coarseness. Although it really refers to the Kashiyut, hardness, in the Masach. Remember that it really refers to the levels of the Aviyut in Bchina Dalet, which created four levels of Kashiyut in the Masach.
Yes. Well, 81?
81, the emergence of the degree of Chochmah from Bchina Gimel. 81. The emergence of the degree of Chochmah from the degree of Ketel has already been explained in detail above. The first 10 Sfirot emerged after the Tzimtzum by the encounter with the upper light in a Masach that consists of the complete Aviyut of Bchina Daled. For that reason, it raised the full amount of reflected light up to the Shorish, called Keter. Once the degree was completed with Rosh Toch Sof, a part of the Aviyut in the Masach purified from the Prina Daled to Prina Gimel. Because the Masach had acquired Shinui Tzura, change of form, it was regarded to have left the degree of Keter. Then, by the encounter of the light of En Sof with the Masach that was purified to Prina Gimel, there came about second ten Sefirot. Their level reached only as high as Chochmah, lacking Keter.
Meaning, we have a lesser will to receive, and accordingly a lesser Masach, and accordingly a lesser attainment and degree of adhesion of the created being with the Creator. Questions? None. I'm going to give you an advice. And also to people who can be envious like you. If you remained in the same envy you had yesterday, or even greater, try to connect with them. By the fact that they now started learning and discussing all of these things of integral education, etc., if you can connect with them through your nullification, then through them you will come to a greater contact with the upper force than them. They are giving you that vessel, that kli, through which you can reach contact with the Creator. Everything depends on your nullification towards the friends. I don't even have to be with them physically. Try it out.
After one attains Tzimtzum, can he lose it?
Yes. Why not?
Shouldn't it be the beginning of his emergence outside? It's an attainment already.
Well, meaning your question is the following. What guarantees to me that I won't lose that degree that I've attained? Nothing. Why should it be that way?
Don't you only raise in sanctity?
Yes, you only rise, but so you are the one who is lowering yourself.
A tzimtzum restriction doesn't mean that I was able to raise myself?
Well, please tell me. Why from above they have to promise you that you are not going to fall, so that you will kind of fly down and enjoy life?
I took this decision already about the Tzimtzum.
No, there's no such thing as I took it. There's no such thing as I took it. If you are in the decision, then you're in it. You have to constantly be standing on that point. Each and every moment is a new moment. If in the next moment you're not in that degree of the decision, then you're not in it.
Tzimtzum has degrees in which I take a decision. This I do not want to accept for myself.
Doesn't matter which degrees. If you stop a certain action, you stopped it. Period. Yes, give it to...
The advice that you just gave to Roy, is it correct only for these people or any committee or...
Towards anyone. In that way you can connect to the group of Rabbi Shimon.
So every friend personally?
Yes, every friend, anyone, through them we can connect to all the Kabbalists, through the group.
Meaning annulment?
By the way, it's not that they're studying today, and because of that, it's... with respect to his own jealousy, his own envy, that he felt a little bit of it. Rather, with respect to this entire system that is called the Kabbalists.
But from our side, in our daily work, nullification with respect to each friend or each committee of the our society. This is what will help me advance. This is what creates the kli that you said?
Yes. Well, our problem is that we pay attention to the bodies, the physical bodies, and not the internal discernments. In internal discernments, you don't have that, so we simply have to constantly work with the desires. Where is my desire? That's where I am. He is going to work. If with his desire, he'll remain cleaved to them, just wants to be inside of them, it can be either, you know, as a secret agent, let's say, or as a friend who's cleaving to them, or as an embryo, or as a mother that is helping them and wants to support them with whatever they have, wishes them success towards the upcoming big congress. It depends, in all kinds of different manners, if he wants to be with them, and only for the better, certainly, then whatever they will have will simply pour out to his kli. It will be a single kli.
What does it mean that I'm nullified?
I'm nullified with respect to them means that, well, here there are several degrees. Nullified with respect to them, meaning that all that I want is for them to succeed, and that's enough for me. I don't even want to become rich out of that in some way, not in terms of my sensation or my understanding or my status, none of it, only for them to succeed. Why? Because the correction of the world depends on them, and on the correction of the world depends the contentment we can bring the Creator. In short, nullifications here are one on top of the other, and then one on top of the other. Yes.
How to strengthen this envy, this inclination, this urge?
You can strengthen it only on the condition that you shift that envy to bestow, and then you see how much you lose it or not. And then you're really working on strengthening it. Just to be jealous with bad envy, that's also good, by the way. That's also good. That advances a person, however, for the time being, only on the corporeal plane. Try to elevate it to spiritual envy. Well, let's continue.
82. The emergence of the degree of Bina from Bchina Bet. Once that degree of Chochmah was complete with Rosh Toch Sof and the surrounding light returned and purified, another part of the Oviyut in the Masach, meaning from Prina Gimel in Prina Daled to Prina Bet in Prina Daled, this new Masach of Prina Bet in Prina Daled is considered to have left the degree of Chochmah for the same reason mentioned concerning the degree of Keter. New ten Sfirot emerged from the encounter of the upper light with that new Masach of Prina Bet, which reached only as high as Bina, lacking Keter and Chochmah.
Well, we reach the same phases that repeat themselves, but nonetheless, there are no questions.
From the inner Bitush and surrounding, we come to the processing of the new degree. This is happening gradually. And the question... Oh, Amit, explain it to us. Why at the Rosh of the Partsuv, the Zugavaka was one in order to fill the Partsuv, in order to empty the Partsuv, There need to be four zivugim of haka'ah. No, no, then we'll ask someone else. Who would you rather we ask?
No.
Well?
No.
That's a waste of time.
No.
That's why you left at him. Well, okay. Give him the microphone. In the back.
The only thing that comes to my mind is that the will to receive doesn't want to leave the pleasure. It's ready to relinquish the minimum and stay with the minimum that it can and leave the rest.
The will to receive doesn't leave us at all. I don't understand the answer. The will to receive never leaves. It never does anything. If the Masach purifies, not something else. Why is the light received in one Zivug Daka? And in the exit of the light from the Partsuf, we have the disbursement of the lights in a gradual manner.
No, he already has the taste. Before this, he doesn't know what it is. He didn't have the taste, but when he has it, he can only give up the minimum, meaning he leaves the maximum he can to himself, and he doesn't want to give up the rest, so it happens gradually.
Not correct. The decision that the light receives in order to purify in Tabor is to do it in the end. There is no a minute part in spirituality, but on the way of ascent, he does it in every single degree, in each aviyut. Yes?
Possibly it learns how to get to know what purifies it. It learns the quality it comes from.
Because now within the will to receive, there is a pleasure, a flavor from it, and therefore he must, upon the light that's working in it, to do zivug of haka from what he is separated. It can't be that the light is leaving the partsuf without the response of the partsuf, other than the shattering, where... Because then we can also see why the light even enters the parts of during the shattering, but only the decision inverts from in order to receive to in order to bestow. Well, next.
83. The reasons for the absence of Chokhmah in the Masach of Bchina Bet. The reason for the absence of Chokhmah from this new degree is the same reason that is mentioned above regarding the absence of Keter, because this Bchina Dalet does not have more than Oviyut of Bchina Bet, which is regarded as Bchina Bina of Bchina Dalet. This reception that it performed did not occur in the beginning, but only from Bina downwards. Therefore, even if the Masach had not detained the upper light, it would still not expand to Bina, to Bchina Dalet herself, but only from Bina downward. Thus, now the Masach did not push the Keter and the Chokhmah meant for Bchina Dalet back. Consequently, it is there aren't any Keter and Chokhmah in this returning light, because this returning light is not there. The upper light of Keter and Chokhmah is not there as well, for the lack of the vessels to receive them.
Meaning, if the Partsuf decides that it's not using the coarseness of Gimel and Dalet, then in accordance there's no Aviyut for use, there's no Aviyut in the Masach, accordingly there is no purity in the Masach, accordingly there is no reflecting light that can clothe the direct light, and thus the degree is purified to another degree and is diminished more and more, gradually. Okay? Really? Is there something there? About before? About envy? You're jealous of Akokana. You're jealous of the jealousy. That's good. Okay, ask.
So Moshe from Krakow, who is now in Holland.
Oh, back to Holland.
Right now he's in Holland, yeah.
Oh, because he wrote to me from there. Yes, we need to help him with our thoughts. Please.
He's asking, how could there be an envy without a desire for self-benefit? Because the eye envies, and then it wants what it wants. So how do you nullify yourself and become zero?
Again, how's the question?
Again, how could there be an envy without a desire for profit, for self-benefit? How could it be that I'm really willing to nullify myself?
How can envy be? Let's say you are capable of giving the society 10 hours of work and 1,000 shekel, and I'm capable of only giving half an hour work and 100 shekel. So I'm jealous of you that you're able to concede your, give up your work and your money and your rest. What can we do? And so I have jealousy in this. Though you could say, well, what's the problem? Give up and that's it, and then you won't have envy. I can't. I can't give more than I'm capable, but I am jealous of you that you're capable. Meaning, there are many internal things here. What am I jealous of? Of your force, that you're able to give, the force of your giving up. And with what force are you able to give and say, I'm not going to use that for myself, I'm willing, well, other than necessity in life, in our beast. But I'm willing all the rest to give to them.
I can be envy at the degree of Rabbi Shimon. What will it give me? Just be envy as much as you can be nullify yourself. What is that degree that he's in right now? What is the level of the ego and the level of the masach, and how much he needs to give up to relinquish? So let's say I want to be like Bill Gates. Did you do anything to become like him? He didn't have anything at first as well. But he had intellect and luck. Andre from Peter is asking this. If I nullify myself and I'm including in the friends again, do I not need to be present in the convention in Israel? We have many friends who really can't come to the conventions that we're having here, the Arava or the Integral Education or the Zohar Convention. There are quite a few people in this situation because they're very far away or things like that. I spoke to Norma today. She connects groups and working groups, especially in English and Spanish. And it's clear that only some of the people can come to the convention, and those who come can come, but those who can't, I hope I'll meet them by coming to their place, hopefully in the summer. So we will try to pass on to them all these impressions in full. Let's continue. Item 84. The emergence of the degree of Zeranpin from the Masach of Bchina Aleph. After this new degree of Bina was completed with Rosh Toch Sof and the surrounding light returned and purified, yet one more part of the Oviyut in the Masach, meaning from Bchina Bet to Bchina Aleph. Consequently, it too is considered to have left the degree of Bina. The encounter of the upper light with the Masach of Bchina Aleph of Bchina Bet, Daled, produced 10 new sfirot in the degree of Zeranpin. The first three sfirot, Keter, Chochma, Bina, are missing here for the reason mentioned above.
Barur?
Is that understood? Let's... If I use... Let's do it like this. If I use Bchina Daled, the light, the returning light I have, rises to the degree of Keter. And this is the degree of Chochmah. Bina. Zeranpin. And Malchut. So these are the degrees my returning light can reach.
Keter, Chochma, Bina. Zeranpin ve Malchut.
So, Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zeranpin and Malchut. This is the Rosh, the Peh. Malchut, Guf. This is what's happening. So, Malchut is the desire. So, to the extent that the desire is greater, the surrounding light reaches a greater degree, and accordingly, it attains it. There's something in this process which is kind of unclear. Malchut had everything. In Malchut of Ensof, it felt the shame, went through the restriction. Now it basically wants to receive the light again in order to bestow. So at first it receives the maximum, right? In Galgalta, she receives the maximum. So why does this decline happen even? If he can receive everything in order to bestow, then why is it now less and less and less? She wanted everything in order to bestow at first.
Yesh lanu keter chokhma bina zerampin v'malchut.
We have Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. We have Shoresh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Daled. We have Daled, Gimel, Bet, Aleph, Shoresh.
Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida.
Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. And we have Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, Ruach, Nefesh.
Kutzo shel Yud, Yud, A, Vav, A. Kutzo shel Yud, Yud, A.
We have Kotzo Shel Yud, Yud, K, Vav, K, and Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud, Kutso Shel Yud. All types of direct and opposite discernments. If we're talking about the 10 Sefirot of the Partsuf from above downwards, it's the direct light. If we're talking about the opposite Sefirot, then Keter Chochma Bina Zaran Pin Malchut, also 10 Sefirot, only this, let's say, is returning light. So, root 1, 2, 3, 4 is the development of the Partsufim of Adam Kadmon, the five Partsufim of the Ak. Daled Gimel Bet Alef Shoresh, what's that? You no longer know. Okay. Let's move on to Naran Chai. Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya Echida. What is that? The expansion of the lights into the Partsuf. And in the Partsufim, in the world of Ak. What? That's the expansion of the lights. Yeah. Meaning the entrance of the lights in the world of Ak. And the opposite, Yechida Chaya Neshama Ruach Nefesh. What vessels? These aren't vessels. This is the exit of the lights from the world of Ak. Afterwards, Kutso Shel Yud and Avaya. That's direct. And the other way around is opposite. There are several ways to name this. Now my question is this. Let's say we have Galgalta. The emergence of Partsuf Galgalta, then Ab, then Sag, Ma, and Bon. We have Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya Yechida. What does it mean? In the smallest Partsuf we have Yechida? We learn No. Once Galgalta emerged, it had the light of Nefesh. But when Ab emerged, the light of Nefesh descended to Ab, and the light of Ruach entered in Galgalta. And then when the light of Ruach goes down a step, then we already have the light of Ruach before that, and the light of Neshama before that. Afterwards, we'll have Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya, and then Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya Echida. So the lights enter all the previous Kli also takes part. Say this is Galgalta, this is Ab and Sag. So when Galgalta creates the Ab, it uses Abs of Yud, level 3. And that's why we have the inner Galgalta. And Ab only has Nefesh, and then Galgalta has Ruach. And then when we move to Sag, so for Sag, there's a coupling in Galgalta as well. So there's Sag in Ab, and there's Ab-Sag in Galgalta. So then there's Nefesh Ruach Neshama in Galgalta, all three lights. In Ab there are two lights, and in Sag one light. You understand that or not? You never worked as a merchant? Were you? Salesman.
A salesman.
Salesman, you. Really? I can't believe that. I can see you weren't successful. What's a salesman? There's the first, second, and third, right? One receives 50%, the second one 30%, the last one 10%, right? And then he sells. It goes through several hands. So, in the same manner, that's Galgalta, Ab, and Sag. Each one needs to include what he gives away. That's it. It's the same thing. And it's a will to receive with the Masach, and that's it. And Naran Chai expands in that way. That's it. We're talking about a will to receive. How many hands it goes through? So it goes through several hands here. Galgalta Ab Sag Mabon. Everything came from the tip of the yud, the keter, but then it develops, and everyone includes the other, integrates with the other. Everyone who includes what is above then goes below.
It's still, this explanation is clear, but it's not clear what Doron asked. Why did the purification start at all?
The purification started, well, that's a different thing. I didn't answer that. There is a 100% will to receive, a great will to receive. And that will to receive now works with the stream. Right? That's 100% will to receive. And it says this, I can receive only a part, a bit, only up to here. So it makes a zivug, a coupling of striking, and fills itself up only down to here. It cannot fill up the coarser part. So there's a tzimtzum here, and there's a masach here, returning light. Direct light. And in short, everything. And this is where the revelation is. So the same light that was supposed to enter this place here, the same light is standing by here, pushing, saying as if, why can't I enter? So from all the feasts on the table, I took like one tomato, and I'm dying of hunger, and there's everything I could possibly want in front of me, and all I took was a tomato. And so, being under the tzimtzum is easier. But without it, I don't really benefit the host. So I have to receive, and only by thinking of the host, I begin to exert in looking for how will I receive anything only for his sake. And then I make huge efforts, and all I take is a tomato. And so all the lights are standing by saying, what did you get? What did you receive? You can't do more for the host than what you did. It's a shame. If I come today and I say, you know, sorry, I'm on a hunger strike today, that's a different thing. But if you take a little bit and the rest you don't, that's disrespect. Because it's permitted and you make calculations. Not with me, the host, but with yourself. And this is what obligates the upper light to push the masach and force it to purify. We'll talk about it more for now. Let's move on.
Sing a song before that.
Ha'ratzon ha'en sofim We'll be right back.